Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Saturday night's all right for fighting. Friday afternoon is all right for Buck Rising, who joins us now courtesy of our friends at Two Rivers Ford. Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople, making your dreams come true over there. Buck, let's start with this. You've been fired up all week, well, at least however many days, about the reaction to Trevor Lawrence's comments. And Blaine and I mean, we roll through a couple hours a day and we kind of get through. We haven't even had time to talk about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I may have mentioned it one day, but we've had Titan stuff, other stuff we've been covering. But it was interesting to see the reaction to him. He talked about not having a chip on his shoulder. And then there were people in his life. His dad said, he's not, I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. And his high school coach said, there's no doubt about it with who he is as a person. He could walk away from it tomorrow and be fine. And the reactions to that were interesting, but you've kind of taken it and run with it this week.
It's just stupid. It's just for all of the things that I've seen Justin Fields get dragged for, the fact that Trevor Lawrence, and it's nothing against Trevor Lawrence. Like, I am so down for athletes who have a platform and want to have outside interests other than football or whatever the sport it is that they play. I want them to feel comfortable talking about these things. But Trevor Lawrence goes out there and is universally celebrated in a way that any other prospect, be they quarterback or otherwise, would get absolutely smacked in the mouth for. The entire conversation around Josh Rosen when he was coming through the pre-draft process was, oh, how much does this guy really love football? This guy doesn't come from a background that would require him to struggle and like fight through adversity and all these things. He comes from a well-off family, yada, yada, yada. And yet Josh Rosen's career, submarine for a great many reasons, none of them having to do with he has outside interests other than football. So outside of just doing, you know, white quarterback says things about outside interest, black quarterback does anything and gets immediately dragged for them, outside of doing that as the analysis, which is basically what happened to Justin Fields. It's stupid, and it's as clear and obvious as anything throughout the course of the evaluation process as there has been. I just don't understand why, with Trevor Lawrence, when this stuff happens, Trevor Lawrence is the, you know, outside of the long locks, why it is that everybody else thinks that he walks on water this way. I don't understand it.
I saw one suggestion. Somebody said maybe it's, you can take this how you want. Maybe it's because of he's viewed as having this most supreme level of talent. He's head and shoulders, the number one pick in the draft. That maybe it's because, you know, he can get away with it just because people realize at this point, it doesn't matter what he said. The Jags are going to take him number one overall.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, none of it matters. Nothing that we've been doing outside of what the NFL facilities are doing and the NFL teams are doing over the course of this last, what, month and a half, 2 months? None of this stuff actually matters. The guys are going to get drafted where the guys get drafted, unless there's something that happens, like with an Isaiah Wilson, where you see a bunch of teams take him off their draft boards for whatever reason late in the process, and then, you
know. Shame there wasn't one more.
Yeah, the team that's left holding the bag, literally, is the team that ends up taking him, and it flames out. So there are situations like that, and always will be, of course, but largely this is just things that we're looking to, not that we're looking to create conversation out of, but that there's so little else to talk about until the draft actually gets here that we create conversation out of it.
Buck Rising on from, his show, Buck Rising, that's here on 104.5 The Zone, daily before us. Also, A to Z Sports, he joins Blaine and Mickey.
Yeah, Lucas, we got a caller. Yeah, go to the caller, Paul.
Wants to weigh in on this particular thing we're talking about. Paul, welcome in. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I appreciate it. Trevor Lawrence, I think he's been winning since he's been there at Clemson. He's got the mobility. He's got the arm, athleticism. He's a winner. And I don't know, Brian Hoyer is the only quarterback that I know of from Ohio State that's ever done any good in the NFL.
He went to Michigan State.
Hoyer did? All right,
well, all right, Paul, no, man, get out of here.
There's no Ohio State quarterback.
Maybe he's thinking it wasn't that Bobby Hoying who was an Ohio State guy. Mike Tomczak, there you go. Ohio State quarterback.
What the hell kind of analysis was that? That's why, what kind of, listen, Paul, I'm sure you're a lovely person. I don't, you know, it's not that I think you're stupid because you said something stupid, but you're displaying the behavior of someone who is stupid when you come to the table with that. Like, what is that? What am I going to do with that? Brian Hoyer at Ohio State.
What
are you
going to do
with it? That's about as much as I can do with that. Thank you for your analysis, Paul. Goodness.
Oh, man. All right.
What else, Blaine?
And away we go.
We're on with Buck Rising from the Buck Rising Show.
Unbelievable.
And naturally, so we're going to stay down this lane.
Yeah.
There's two questions that always stand out. And this one's probably an obvious one is, has anyone asked you anything about the IR yet? Or is it forbidding forever?
Oh, no. It's going to happen until the end of time. I'm going to go to my grave answering questions about, you know, fringe Titans players being put on IR and when they can return for the postseason push. It's already happening with Bud Dupree, given that we don't know at what point he will be ready for the season, even though he is saying to people that he will be ready for the season. I'm sure as soon as the next rehabilitation video circulates of Bud Dupree doing workouts as he works his way back from an ACL, that my IR curse is going to continue to plague my Twitter mentions.
Yeah. Well, this is the one I get every time I'm out. It's kind of majority. It's not the, you know, every time, but it's a lot of people. So I only recall it maybe because it's funny.
Yeah.
And that's because they say, why does Buck kiss Coach Vrabel's you-know-what all the time?
Isn't there a promo running on our station? People keep telling me there's a promo running on our station
of Vrabel
congratulating on my new job, which makes me look like even more of a kiss.
It's running.
That's exactly it. Maybe
butt
that's kisser. Why they think that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, but dang, why are they saying that?
Well, here's what I would say, because I don't think it's – Because I understand why fans – I really do. I understand, like, to take this question seriously, I understand why fans get upset with media because they don't hear the kind of passion from the media that fans have with the questions, right? So when fans get upset about Shane Bowen being made the defensive coordinator and the media, who is the go-between, the middleman between team and fan – doesn't come with the same intensity at Vrabel or Robinson or whomever about Shane Bowen, then they say, why are you being so soft on them? Well, it's not my job to yell at Mike Vrabel. I'll ask your question. I'll probably will ask it politely. Hey, Mike, how are you doing today? Thanks for doing this. Why did you feel justified in promoting Shane Bowen? But because I'm not screaming like an idiot on Twitter in my mentions when, you know, the Tennessee Titans give up yet another third down, then people think that you're a butt kisser or whatever you want to, whatever is FCC safe for me to say, Lucas, stay close to the dumb button. It's Friday and I'm tired. So I understand why fans have that kind of perception, but also, like, it's not my job to get emotional about your football team. My job is to ask the question. They can give us whatever answer we want or they want, and we can follow up on that answer. But, like, don't be surprised when I'm not sitting here as upset as you are, because it's not my job to be a fan of the Tennessee Titans. My job is to ask the questions.
Good job, man. We're on with Buck Rising from the Buck Rising Show, and I guess we'll move on to everybody's talking about the draft. And actually, I love to ask you your two. But first of all, what position group, regardless of anything that happens, do you really want them to draft?
So I don't think they have a starting tight end right now. I mean, they do technically have a starting tight end right now. It's Anthony Firkser. If you go look at, like, the unofficial depth chart on TennesseeTitans.com, but for me, they need a player who can give them more use on the field. It's not like Firkser doesn't have usefulness. Obviously, he's a hugely productive player in the passing game. He's hugely efficient on third down. He works really, really well out of the slot. But also, there are limitations to Anthony Firkser's game. There's a reason he's bounced around the league, undrafted rookie free agent when he came into the NFL. And he's on a one-year deal. So that, to me... And obviously he was tendered, so it's a little different than being like an unrestricted free agent. But there is a lot there that leaves you wanting more, essentially, from that position. Given that the players on your roster right now at that position are Anthony Firkser, Jeff Swaim, and then Jared Pinkney, who was a who was given a futures contract after really not doing anything with the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, Vanderbilt fans familiar with Pinkney. So I need to see them find a starting tight end, because that to me.
So in the first round, you're taking a tight end.
No, Blaine. I'm just saying in general. First round, I don't care what. I honestly, and this may sound offensive, but outside of quarterback or running back, I don't care what position they take in the first round. I want them to take the best player that's left on their board that's not a player that plays the same position as Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry, because those are the two things that I think are most decided out of anything on this football team. Anywhere else, find talent.
Well, what did you think, Buck? We're on with Buck Rising, naturally, of the Clowney signing. And did he kind of throw the tight under the bus?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, for sure he did. But he also kind of, you know, Blaine, I heard you talking about this yesterday, and I thought this was a really, really important point to be made, because there are so many people like me or Lucas, right, where it's a generational difference between how we look at athletes and how athletes used to come to the table with how they did their job, right? You were citing Eddie George, mm-hmm. the kind of toughness that he displayed mm-hmm. playing throughout, you know, whatever injuries that Eddie was dealing with.
Yeah.
You yourself, many of your teammates, Steve McNair, obviously the best example of this here locally for all of the things that he dealt with and still found a way to perform. On Sundays, Clowney essentially said, yeah, I shut it down because I didn't want to make my knee worse because he wanted to get paid again. I mean, paraphrasing, but like that was basically what we were hearing. You know, Clowney gets to do largely what Clowney wants to do, or handles himself how Jadeveon Clowney wants to handle himself. And he was, they're not going to mandate him to stay on the field or around the team after he gets injured. But what Clowney said was, yeah, I wanted to make sure that I was right when it came time to hit free agency again. And so he essentially did not play through the meniscus tear that that it was reported that he was dealing with. So, yes, he did throw the Titans under the bus, but he also outed himself in a way that if he's comfortable doing mm-hmm. it, that's fine. You know, he's playing for a contract. He's playing for contracts, not necessarily playing for what most people consider to be the ultimate goal, obviously the Super Bowl.
Well, with Buck Rising and Buck Rising from A to Z Sports.
Buck, you've been a big trade back guy. And I noticed one night this week on primetime, you got into the look, they can do it for a lot of reasons, but they should really think about doing it for financial reasons at this point.
So this is not an idea that I can take credit for organically. In fact, the man lounging on the studio couch to my right, as I sit here, the casting couch, as we've begun to call it here at 104.5 The Zone, Rhett Bryan. Rhett Bryan, incredibly helpful on a variety of different fronts, but we were talking about, you know, how it's a much, much smaller piece of this, right? Because the money that you might save trading out of the first round to get more second rounders, it's not necessarily going to be overwhelming. You're not going to save, just to throw a figure out there, you're not going to save $5 million by trading out of the first round, right? But when you're looking to create additional capital or draft cap, I shouldn't say draft capital because that's draft picks, but when you're looking to create additional flexibility under the cap, how can you find ways in the margins to create maybe minimal changes, but when you're in playing under a salary cap like they are right now, can you save yourself a little bit more money by not drafting a player in the first round? Given where they're drafting right now in the first round and how these draft picks are slotted, it's a little difference. Obviously, top five makes a lot more than top 22 for the purposes of the Tennessee Titans. But there are ways to save yourself money by looking for ways to trade out in that regard. Again, nothing overwhelming, but it can be a piece of something that helps you create additional salary cap flexibility before you have to look at options like extensions and restructures, because as Rhett pointed out to Lucas and I in our pre-show meeting, right now they're still going to have to do something to create additional cap flexibility before roster cutdown day, when the 53 contracts, not the top 51, count against the team salary cap across the league.
there were more teams. I was looking at this last night, and literally while I was looking, another team said they're not going to do any voluntary stuff. Let's see. Broncos, Seahawks, Lions, Bucks, Browns, Bears, Patriots, Raiders, Texans, all essentially saying they wouldn't do voluntary stuff. How do you think this ultimately gets resolved around the league?
They're going to have to find a middle ground, basically. You know, it's still voluntary, right? So none of this is overwhelmingly different. Every team, or at least the teams that have chosen to take a public stance on this, are taking a public stance in a way that you don't normally associate with that. Now, what we've kind of talked about on my show and on the primetime show throughout the course of the week is, you know, veteran players aren't interested in making life easier for rookies to come take their jobs. And what the offseason represents more than anything for the guys who need the offseason time more than anybody, it's not the vets that have been in the league 5, 10 years, however many of them last that long. It's the guys who are trying to acclimate to the speed of the game, get their bodies physically ready to perform at the NFL level, and who need more time with the coaching staffs, with their teammates at the facility, just kind of learning the new cities that they're in and understanding all of the whirlwind that comes along with being drafted into the NFL. So it matters for the rookies, largely for the vets. The vets don't want anything to do with this. They can work out on their own. Hell, NFL teams over the course of the season proved that they can do largely without practice during the season. Like the Tennessee Titans going 16 days between games, not having in-person meetings, not having in-person practices, outside of the NBA, you know, whether the players knew whether it was legal or not to have the practice.
Right.
On and on it goes. But veterans can do this without the most of the conventional stuff that NFL teams have always put into place. It's just a matter of where does the NFLPA and the NFL, who are going to have to go back and forth on this, find the middle ground to say, okay, rookies need this, maybe vets don't. How can we find a solution that makes sense for everybody instead of having teams come out like they're saying with the Bucks and the Broncos and the Lions and all of the other teams that Mickey listed? How can we find a way to do that without basically teams taking public stances on this?
Buck Rising hanging out with Blaine and Mickey here on 104.5 The Zone for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I guess lastly, Buck, before we let you roll out, what do you think that now that we've had a formidable superstar from the Tennessee Titans become a head coach, what would be your concern if you were Eddie George if this doesn't work, and how does this affect your legacy?
So that's an interesting question, right? Because that's really the thing that you think about with any of these guys, whether it's Deion Sanders or Eddie George, and whether a trend results from that. You know, if this fails for whatever reason, whether the financing right. isn't there, whether the planning isn't there, whether it be on the basis of Eddie or Deion not having any coaching experience prior to this, I think he can do positive things for the university. But ultimately, he's going to be judged by the on-field product. And if the on-field product tanks, then yeah, you're looking at adding to your laundry list of accomplishments, if you're Eddie George, failed college football coach, if in fact it does fail. Now, I think the risk is far less than the reward, because even if he does not help them succeed on the football field, even if he is not a coach who provides competitive advantage, whether he hires a staff that's capable of helping him do that is going to be the biggest question, obviously, now. But Eddie George can 1,000% make a difference in a lot of these young men's lives, no matter what it is, whether it's just mentorship, leadership, learning how to go about your business from a guy who is just a perfect example of how to transition from life of an athlete into what comes next. Because not everyone at TSU puts out pros, but not every one of these guys is going to end up going pro, obviously. So Eddie can have a positive impact, even if the football product doesn't live up to all of the hype that's going to come along with Eddie George being at TSU. I think there's a lot of layers to it. But yeah, I mean, you do run the risk of having that on your resume if it does flop.
Buck Rising, he's got a lot on his resume, A to Z Sports, Buck Rising Show, and, of course, an appearance with us every Friday right around, 1:15. So you can catch it every week. Buck, Have a great weekend, my brother, and we'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, boys. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you. Have a fantastic weekend.